talking over the big music. That's what we do. The people are busy, Howard. They can't sit around and get into the riff. If that podcast doesn't captivate them immediately, they're gone. They're gone, girl, gone. So there you go. My wonderful voice, 2 seconds in.
Lovely. Thank you, John.
God damn right. We can say GD. It's slightly dirty on this show.
Oh, this one's made for radio?
This one's made for radio, but GD can fit in there. You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. If you like the show, just look up Papa's Basement on everything. That's going to be the new intro. Short and to the point. You want to find us on Twitter? Guess what? Guess what, idiot? It's Papa's Basement, just like the name of the show. Facebook? You guessed it again, Papa's Basement. Just type Papa's Basement in, you'll find a lot of stuff. Maybe
just
you'll follow.
Never go to that URL. Always Google it.
Yes, go to inpapasbasement.com. WENBC. All right, so we need to start off the show with an apology. The show is full of apologies today.
I accept your apology, John.
Not to you. I owe nothing to you. All you do is come in and work for free. Why would I owe you a goddamnable thing?
You paid me Friday.
Oh, yeah, this is true.
Yeah, you did.
No. Yeah, yeah. Look up Howard's lawyer thing. Where can they find that again?
It's you should tweet it out.
I need to tweet this link. Howard has put together a training video in his day job, because we have day jobs. I know you're thinking podcaster, millions of dollars, you know.
We're just sitting on a pile of money while we record this.
Yeah, more tuna than a deli. Just, you can't get enough. Well, that is not exactly the whole truth. We have day jobs, and it's weird you mentioned yours, because we're going to get to mine in a second and how it has crashed into the podcast world. But Howard's day job, he's a lawyer. He's accredited, too. You don't see him, like, on the Spanish channel with a penciled-in Cesar Romero mustache being like, I am...
Notario.
Yeah.
Yo soy notario.
Yo soy hombre. Yeah, you know. But where can they find this training video? It's about copyright law if they want to learn all that happy crap.
Go to Indiegogo.com and search for Vinny Van Gogh.
But it's weirdly spelled?
You know what? If you type in Van Gogh correctly spelled, it still pulls up.
Okay.
So, but Vinny, his name is Vinny. It's a puppet that teaches copyright.
All right. That sounds captivating.
Yeah, I didn't really sell it there, did I?
Well, I mean, people hear puppets, and I think they zone out, and then copyright law, and they're like, well, that sounds like fun. Just if you've ever wanted to support the show, if you've ever listened for years and years, and you're like, why hasn't John monetized whatsoever? Well, I'm very unprofessional, but Howard over here, he's figured out how to take your money. So just give him some.
Yeah, I sort of have tried to figure it out. It's not much of a compelling pitch from what I gather. You were the third person to contribute, so.
Yeah, but I'll contribute again if you need me to. Do I have to use an alias?
You can also go anonymous.
Can I just put like a Carmen Sandiego hat on?
You could use the same account to contribute and just say it's anonymous. So
I am
it looks
Pon
like you
Joppa Giorgio. All right. Well, I need to also apologize to my customer, Chris. I had a guy over the weekend. I did his locks, and we got to talking about my show somehow.
Okay.
I said he was from New York. I said I went to New York to visit my good friend, Lena Dunham. This is not a lie. This will be the crux of the episode. I will talk about meeting Lena Dunham. Again, none of that is a lie. I kind of have that lie voice going where it goes up just a sliver of an octave and your throat tightens. I really did meet Lena Dunham and spend an extended period of time with her last week. And I will tell this story momentarily.
People will find out very soon why the voice went up for all these things that are true technically.
No, technically. I met face-to-face Lena Dunham and had a brief conversation. Very brief.
Very brief. Yes.
Very brief.
I ran into her once, too. I can tell you that story.
At a burrito stand
at
in the Patriots
Meriwether
Center.
When Fun Meriwether. Was playing, because she's dating the guitarist.
Jack Antonoff?
I technically didn't really run into her. My girlfriend did. I was like, there's no way. Why would she be here? And it's obvious because she's dating the fun guitarist. So.
Yes, and burritos are delicious.
Not at Meriwether. Do not get the burrito at Meriwether. Resist the temptation. Get anything else. Worst burrito I've eaten in a long time.
Wow, that is damning. And we just waited for like a frozen piece of crap for 10 minutes.
That was better.
Over at the Target Cafe, and that beats the Meriwether burrito. Well, there you go.
The crappy pretzel roll sandwich at Target is better than the burrito at Meriwether, and it costs a third.
Oh, God. Well, we will call my customer Greek Chris, because he's Chris, and he's Greek. I got really inventive with that one. We talked about the show. I gave him my promotional stickers. See, I have those on me.
Wow.
And if you want any in the audience, just tweet me. Just tweet me. I'll mail you 100. And I'll say, put them all over the lockers of your school. I will tweet about your suspension and call you fan numero uno. So Chris emails me back last night and he's like, dude, I really like the show.
Okay.
You're funny. And my wife heard a chunk of it and said, can we trust this man? He just did our locks. We just moved in. Are we safe?
Yeah.
That's about what I expect the reaction to be when you hear someone like me is in charge of the safety of your house. I'm a locksmith. That's my day job. Howard's a lawyer. I'm a locksmith. I'm here to tell you, Chris, not one case against me has ever gone to court. No. You should. Why are you staring? You can't laugh at that. I've never had a case against me.
I'm worried. I was like,
Chris, you and
am
your
I entertaining with you? I thought we agreed that I don't do your legal crap.
Yeah. Chris, you're fine. Thank you for actually listening to the show. I appreciate it. I checked beforehand if you wanted that story relayed on air. He said that was fine. I just thought it was funny because that's about how I expect, especially a chick who didn't grow up listening to Howard Stern, would react hearing the show. Would just be like, you gave this man money and he had the keys to our house even for he was in our house? Can we move?
Did you make sure that he did not take any keys with him?
Exactly. Like, yeah. No, I'm on the up and up, sir. You are all safe. So that is my first apology.
John also did the locks at my place.
Yeah.
So thank you, John.
Yeah, exactly. Has anything been taken that you can prove was taken
not
by
from
me?
The place in Alexandria.
There you go.
But you didn't work on my hood house.
That got robbed. And it wasn't by me. It was in the hood house. It was robbed by hoodlums.
There was no breaking and entering, though.
Yeah, your dumbass roommate just left a door open. That's called a yard sale in the hood.
There's no locksmith that can account for that.
No. We don't have Magneto powers. We can't whip your door shut. When that moron leaves it open. Ugh. I was also going to relay a horrible... I'm going to skip it. I can't. I just mentioned it. I can't skip it. Chris, don't let your wife listen to this part. Just quit while you're ahead.
No, dude, come on.
What?
Have mercy.
Okay, fine.
Tell that in a couple episodes when she's probably decided she'll never listen again.
I might have, after having a lot of coffee, done a Jeff Daniels... in Dumb and Dumber in the bathroom. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It flushed. So that part, not so much. But the way he kicked his legs and went, I did that right as someone walked in. Like 2 seconds later, I was like, thank God I'm alone. And then you hear the saloon door swing open. I'm like, God damn it. God damn it. Why wasn't I allowed to have that? Because anytime it's really bad, do you ever look under the stall? Just to be like, who was it? I want to see their sneakers.
Yeah.
So I can confirm who it was and just mentally have that edge on them.
Yeah.
The rest, that's how the USSR fell, by the way. Gorbachev took a disgusting one, and Reagan walked in and saw his little loafers. He's like, any man that defecates like that is the product of a broken system, and I will take him down.
He didn't look over top to recognize the birthmark on his head.
No, the port wine stain. No, yeah. He just saw the shoes. Smelled that disgusting cabbage potato dump. Walked out the next day, delivered, Mr. Gorbachev, take down this wall. That was it. That was the beginning of the end. A horrible pierogi dump. Oh, man. So, let's tell the story of me going to Brooklyn to meet my bestie.
All right.
Lena Dunham. I think for the rest of the story, I'm going to call her Lily. I think that's what she wants her friends to call her. It shows that we have an air of familiarity. Why react? It's not a visual medium.
You're giving me
this rock eyebrow when I say these things.
I'm letting you tell the story, man. I just want to hear more about why you were even going to Brooklyn.
Sure. There you go. That is good. That's a back and forth. I said something. You're like, elaborate. You jumped 5 steps ahead. You tard. All right. So I went to Brooklyn because my girlfriend, for her birthday, has been coming up for the last couple months with what I feel are extravagant ideas. There, I said it. I used the E word. Extravagance.
Does your girlfriend listen to this show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I will All right. catch hell for this. I will catch extravagant hell. So she has come up. She thought we could go to what? Punta Cana? Whatever, Mexico. One of those like little islands they guard so that you're not taken by one of the drug cartels.
Okay.
The Zetas. right. and held for ransom, and then they decapitate you and use your head as a football, as they say in their land. So that was an idea. Flying back to Denver for 3 days so she could buy and smoke more things.
Candy.
Yeah. Don't know.
They
if
sell
I should.
Candy in Denver.
I'm not going to allege that my girlfriend dabbles in anything on air. So yeah, she wanted to go there and just breathe
candy.
In that mountain air very deeply, Howard.
Yeah.
What else was resorts in like Southern Virginia, like an hour and a half beyond Virginia Tech.
Oh, was it, what was that called? The Heritage or something?
Yes, or yeah. Hermitage or something.
Hermitage,
yeah.
That's right.
You like go to Virginia Tech and then drive an hour and a half down.
That's baller, man. Why don't you do that?
That's a hell of a drive. And then it was something like $500 for two nights. And that was just for the stay. That's not like the massages and the food. That's just your stay.
I mean, yeah. You definitely would have had some fun in that hotel. I'll say that.
It's maybe I'm a little cheap. That just sounds a little extravagant.
It's very far from here. You'd be pissed by the time you got there because it's solid 5.5 hour drive each
exactly.
way.
Exactly. At least five. Yeah. You know what? When she asked, what do you want for your birthday or what do you want for Christmas? It's a very short list. I want a threesome and that gets immediately vetoed.
Right.
Then I say, that's fine. Can I just have sex with someone without you there? That gets shot down. Then I ask for a decent meal. That's it.
Right.
Get me a 50 buck plate.
Right.
Get me a lobster tail, maybe some stuffing if it's the season. I'm happy.
And see, even when you do something like that, you're still kind of a cheap date because you don't really drink.
I don't at all. Maybe I'll have like a beer with it.
Because I like a nice bottle of wine. I'll go for some top shelf scotch. I'm not
Good
talking
Lord.
Like Blue Label. I'm
Good
just
Lord.
Like, give me a single malt scotch. Like, what you got?
Give me a Glenlivet.
I don't really like that. But, you know,
really?
An equivalent. Something that costs
about
the same.
What is there? Glenfiddich? It's Glen everything,
There's
right?
Glenmorangie is the one that I tend to go for. That's,
okay.
Like, I think they're distributed by Seagram's, so.
I go with Glenlivet because my hero, Artie, from the Larry Sanders Show, played by the great Rip Torn, drank Glenlivet in a couple episodes. And I'm like, that's all the research I need.
And it's the Maker Mark. Like, it's the equivalent of Maker's Mark amongst bourbons. I don't really like Maker's Mark either. I think it's for women. I think they made bourbon that's drinkable for women, and it's called Maker's Mark.
Oh,
so.
I had an alcoholic ex who loved Maker's Mark, but she loved everything. Did I mention the part where she's an alcoholic?
Yeah. But no, I'm a Beam fan when it comes to my bourbon. That makes me hardcore.
Does it?
Yeah. That makes me baller.
I always thought that was like the Ford of bourbons.
It really is.
Like, it's just very basic.
However, it is the best by far in a bourbon and Coke.
Okay.
My opinion. I mean, if you're going to pour a Maker's Mark and Coke, I don't see the point.
Okay. So it's almost cheap enough where it's cool to dump a Coke on top of it.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like, nobody's going to get mad at you. I mean, like, it's a joke when people say bourbon and scotch are in the same category.
I don't know the difference. They both taste like fire.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable if you hate all the above. But when people talk about bourbon, it's basically half corn. It's a very simple product that's put together, whereas
scotch is
like a very complex flavor. So
yeah, not to betray my manhood here, I will never understand really how liquor made from different things really tastes all that different. I'm kind of a Ralph Wiggum, tastes like burning. That's it. So when someone's like, oh, this bourbon has a hint of the cask to it, and I can taste that Kentucky wind that blew through the wheat or whatever the hell made it, I'm like, are we drinking the same thing? I tasted an absolute shock to my buds. Like, you pulled out my tongue and smashed them with a golf club. Like, I owed you for betting on the Chargers. All right, so finally she comes up with the idea that she is going to acquire these Lena Dunham. She's nuts about girls. She's nuts about everything Lena Dunham's published.
Right.
I may have seen every episode of Girls with my girlfriend by my side.
You were not a fan of Lena Dunham before that exercise, were you?
No, man. That's like one of those things that just makes you sound kind of manly or like a dude where you're like, girls sucks, right? Yes, it does. And then you drink your beer and smash the bottle over your head, and that's what makes you a dude. I don't know. I just, Girls is not a show that the average guy is going to toss on. And I don't want to Howard Stern this too hard, but it's like, I want to see, was it Marnie? Allison Williams, I believe her name is.
She the one that's going to play Peter Pan?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just know there's a chick, Marnie, that every girl hates because she's the quote-unquote perfect girl.
Right.
And she's just hot. And it's like Lena pulls out her tits 24/7 on the show.
Yeah.
Her buddy Jemima Kirk, who's not a bad-looking woman, she gets topless a lot. And then there's like the mousy Jewish one, I forget her name, Shoshana. She'll never pull him out, so now I just want to see him for the sake of novelty. But like Allison Williams is the one, if you're a dude, you're like, okay, I can work with that. Please. God, please. And she doesn't pull him out either. So every episode I'm sitting there like, is this in the contract? Am I going to get a surprise? And I don't. So I've come to just watch the show because they have carrot and sticked me throughout three seasons where I'm like, well, Lena's pulled out everything at this point. Mightn't I see a nipple from the lovely Allison Williams? I don't think I ever will. And now I'm invested.
Okay. She must be the one that's going to appear as Peter Pan next.
Hold on.
That's one of those things that is much harder to get as a role when you show your titty on HBO.
Allison Williams as Peter Pan.
Yeah.
You are a winner.
Yeah, so that's why you haven't seen titty yet, is because she's doing a musical.
Yeah, and people
on television.
I think what's weird is people clown me and they're like, even Allison Williams isn't that good looking. I'm like, look, I have a bit of a soft spot for a defined jawline. What can I say? I like Maria Shriver in her day too. You know? What do you want out of me? It's classic beauty. Yes, they have a bit of the Schwarzenegger jawline. Can't help it. It's defined. It's aristocratic. I'm a classy man. I needs me a classy dame.
But what did ultimately... So, Girls is a show that you enjoy despite not seeing the boobage that you would like to have seen at this
point. It's a show I enjoy with my girlfriend next to me. And I feel as a man, there are certain shows you will enjoy with a female present. And you would touch them alone.
Would you watch a marathon of Girls?
Oh, I've tried on my own. Like,
yeah.
It's popped on. And I was sitting with my brother Will on the couch. I'm like, you know what? This isn't so bad. This funny thing happens in this episode. And we're watching for 5 seconds. And he's just like, are you gay? And I'm like, wow, this is much worse with you here and not her. This really isn't so much my cup of tea anymore.
But could you sit and watch a marathon with her?
With her, yeah. We've had marathons.
Okay.
Like, I had to catch up on multiple seasons. I think I got into it at the start of season 3 or the end of 2. So I would go to her house, and we would crank through, like, 3 episodes, no problem.
Because you've met all my girlfriends in my life.
What about white girlfriends, you said?
You've met all of the girlfriends I've had.
All of your girlfriends?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you said you've had white girlfriends. I'm like, hey, I didn't dabble that hard on the other side, but sure.
Going back a couple, I used to watch Sex and the City back in, you know, like the mid-aughts.
That I watched alone and with my brother. Continue.
I had a rule with that, and this is how I knew this was not a show I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of liked watching it with her, but even when I was there with one of my exes, like, we would watch 2 episodes, and during the marathon on TBS, whatever else that we happened to catch, a Sex and the City marathon, by the 3rd episode, I was like, no, this channel needs to change right now.
And that is another show about 4 women where some of them can't put their tits away, like the old coug, Kim Cattrall. She was just like, hey, do you need me to piss in a glass? Like, this is a penthouse spread.
Right.
She would do whatever. And Sarah Jessica Parker, I think, had like one wet t-shirt scene or something. So you
right.
see some nippage. And you're like, okay, Charlotte York never gives you a crap. That Amish bitch. I don't think you see her ankles in that goddamn show. And then the one that looks like redheaded Dave Foley pulled hers out, too.
But yeah, I haven't seen a lot of Girls yet.
Randa.
I imagine
that's my Steve impression. Her husband, Randa.
I imagine though, it's different, right? Is Girls different where you can stomach like getting through an entire season of it? Whereas I felt with Sex and the City, it was not really different from episode to episode. I was like, people tried to convince me that there was something going on with this overarching plot
line. I don't think there was much of a progression to Sex and the City. I don't know if I'm wrong on that, but I thought it was like Carrie would have her boyfriend of the season.
And then she'd end up back with Chris Knott.
Yeah,
you know, it's
exactly.
Just like, oh, you again.
Mr. Big.
Yeah.
or John, as his first name actually is. There's your Sex in the City trivia tidbit, a bit we like to do every episode.
So, girls is
better
than that.
Stay tuned next week. I will tell you that it was based on a book written by Candace Bushnell, and that is the extent of my Sex in the City knowledge.
So, forget that out-of-date trash. Let's talk more about Girls, the latest fad on HBO for women.
Yeah, yeah, Girls. The
better than Sex in the City?
I don't know, man. Sure. It's right. Different.
It's different.
All like, right. I feel Lena, Lily, my buddy, revealed in the course of the night that the characters, here's what helped me turn a page on her, turn a corner. She revealed that at least a couple of the characters, especially her character, they're meant to be hated. Like, they're meant to be unlikable. And at first I was like, wow, you're just bad, a bad person, and you're a spoiled little bag of S on this show.
Yeah.
And entitled, and I hate you. And then she revealed that, like, you're supposed to feel that way about that character. She is a piece of crap. That's, that kind of takes the wind out of your sails if you want to hate them. You're like, well, okay then.
Yeah, I haven't really given the show a full shot yet, but I liked her in Tiny Furniture, and that's really, like, the moment I realized while watching Tiny Furniture, her first movie, that she did have a chance of making it. Because, like, I realized partway through the movie, I was like, you know, her character is the only one who's a truly horrible person that is just completely selfish to everyone around her. And that's the moment I was like, she did that on purpose.
Yeah, I didn't.
She knows that's entertaining.
I'm not smart, so I didn't put that together. I like how you saw Tiny Furniture a couple seasons into Girls, though, and you're like, I think this girl can go places.
No, like, no, no. I saw Tiny Furniture before she got the contract for Girls. I actually honestly thought she'd blown her load
on
Tiny Furniture. I didn't think Girls would be as successful as it's become.
I thought you were saying that, like, after Elway got the first of his rings at the end, and you're like, you know what? Not such a bad quarterback.
Oh, I love the rewritten history on Elway. One of the greatest of all time, really? Is that what you were saying in 1997 as he was heading into the Super Bowl with Green Bay? I'm pretty sure that's not what people were saying.
No, he was a Lord Flopmaster yeah. on the big stage. And then he got two at the end, and suddenly, yeah, he is awesome. I like that he's probably trying to do that for Peyton. But we will save that for the football show coming afterward. So, my girlfriend's birthday, she finally finds Lena Dunham book tour tickets. And it's at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. And you sit there, and she's going to read from the book a bit. She's going to have assorted guests. Some of the people from Girls are going to be there. My girlfriend's obsessed with Jemima Kirk from the show. Mm-hmm. Trying to remember her name on the show. Sorry, but she's Jemima Kirk in real life. British broad. And she's like, look, I'm covering the tickets. Just get me up there and back. You want to come with? I'm like, well, that's a trick question. I believe I will be going with you because otherwise I'll never hear the end of it. And with that, she went on StubHub and I believe picked up these tickets for $250 a clip.
Mm.
Not for the pair, like I said in the Mike Sachs interview, $250 per.
It's the New York tax, man. I know DC's an expensive place, but yeah, you want to get that
kind
of a
lead
event.
It's just the Lena Dunham tax. You're talking a woman who appeals to chicks in New York who live there because they have a trust fund. So money's no big deal. They're like, yeah, hell yeah, Brooklyn baby. Daddy, I need $500. My girlfriend actually had to work for this money. And I'm not saying everyone who went there didn't work, because the tickets, if you got them on time, were $38.
Oh,
and
wow.
It came with a free copy of her book, which she would then sign at a meet and greet. So you know what? That's not a bad deal for $38.
Right.
For $250, I'm not paying. What do I care? So the big day, we drive up. And I just want to say this about New York, in case you've never been to New York, in case you've only flown into New York. It is an experience seeing that city appear over a hill. I don't know if every city is set up this way. You drive into Baltimore, you kind of crest this one hill on 95, and you see like a cityscape in front of you
all
of a sudden. And you can look to the left and the right, and you'll see the limits of the city. Same with Philadelphia. You're driving in, you look to the left, you look to the right. The city has appeared, but you see the limits of it. You crest the hill. We were driving over the Verrazano Bridge into Brooklyn. New York looks like a prison planet. There is no left and right that delineates the end of this city when you are looking at it. Your eyes fail before you can see the end of the urban development in either direction. It is truly daunting.
Yeah, I like your analogy of a prison, because whenever
yes.
I ride on the Cross Bronx Expressway, like for people who haven't been through Manhattan on the Cross Bronx, the thing I hate the most about that road is, first time I didn't notice this, but the second time I realized, like, you know, there are only ramps onto this throughout the city. That's kind of the design. And I used to work on a ranch, like, not for a long time, but, you know, I did 10 weeks working on a cattle ranch, and that's when I realized that the Cross Bronx...
10 weeks more than me, buddy.
The Cross Bronx is designed like a corral. As you send cattle to the slaughter, this is a great way to make sure that they are all forced into the same pathway so that they can just end up where they're supposed to go. And ultimately, where do all cattle go? So, yeah. It's quite unsettling to be on the Cross Bronx, because I'm like, there's no exit ramp. I can't get off this now.
So we are all cows to the slaughter driving
into
New York.
Essentially, we're all imprisoned within the city while we're there.
Well, that was my first impression. I am like, that is insane. I truly cannot see where this begins or ends. You finally enter the city. We enter again Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, right?
One of the boroughs. Usually, I hadn't been there in about a decade, and the majority of my time I had spent in either Queens or Manhattan.
I'm always in Manhattan. I've never been to either of those other two, really.
Okay, so this is my first time in Brooklyn. And again, I work in D.C. all the time. I'm in Baltimore at least once a month.
Right.
I've been to Richmond a lot. I've done Philly 5 or 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't think I have visited the pearls of the earth, shall we say. I am familiar with a 95 corridor S-hole. There is something specially dirty to New York. There is something, it can be a lovely summer's day and you drive in and the buildings, even in Brooklyn, and I'm not saying Brooklyn has a ton of skyscrapers, but the way it's packed together and built in, there's an unnatural shade to it all. Somehow the sun is blotted, and somehow it's colder than it should be, and somehow it's goddamn dirtier than it should be.
Huh.
And there's just, it ain't my speed, man. Like, the people are a little too plugged in, scenester-wise. There were too many flannels. I felt like I was back in, like, middle school. You know what I mean? Like, there were dudes... You remember my crew back then.
Yeah.
I've mentioned the name Stefan Pimley on the show before, my drug buddy from back in the day.
You mean the pioneer of the hipster look?
Pretty much.
From the time that we were all in fifth grade.
Circa 92, 93. Stefan Pimley, apparently just the savant of what was to come, because he would parade around in a red flannel with Doc Martens, black jeans. Well, guess what? I saw... without exaggeration, 20 Stefan Pimleys in my time in Brooklyn. I did not know things had come quite that full circle. I wanted to shave the undersides of everyone's long hair, put on the Black Album, and rock out. So we get there about 3 p.m. Our event is at 7:30. And we eat at Meltcraft, a artisan grilled cheese place. I know that sounds kind of... dickish. It's artisan grilled cheese.
Toolish. Yeah.
Yeah. And I paid $8 to add the artisan to my grilled cheese.
Wow.
You know what? It was fine by me. I don't care.
Was it delicious?
You ever had grilled cheese?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
You add an artisan to it, it's not so much better, but...
Did they import the cheese from a obscure region of France or anything? No?
Nah. Like, right. Maybe Wisconsin.
Okay.
The Wisconsin province of France. I don't know, man. But... we're done, I'm not exaggerating, at the latest with lunch by 4.
Okay.
And I think it was much closer to 3. Much closer. So.
What'd you do next?
So little, Howard. So little. My girlfriend on these little adventures really needs to stop wearing flip-flops.
Oh.
Really needs to wear
lesson
something
learned.
With a touch of arch support. Because I don't blame her for not wanting to walk around dirty F New York City with open-footed shoes, not even open-toed, open-everything shoes.
Yeah.
But she was just getting tired. Like, we park there, so then I find a garage, because this is the realities of needing a car in Brooklyn. She didn't want to take the bus because she claimed she would get motion sick. She has to see the road in front of her to not get motion sick. And I'm like, very well. Very well, your car has the easy pass, so I'm not even paying for tolls. I will more than pay for gas.
Right.
And I will drive. So we do that, and we finally find a garage. I mean, like, bright catty corner to the Brooklyn Academy of Music.
Beautiful.
Could not have been more convenient.
How much parking cost?
Not even that horrible. 17 for, like, 5 hours.
Reasonable. We were just in Smaltmore, and it cost, what, like, 14, 16?
14, 16, yeah. I think and 14 one day, 16 the other. Yeah. So, yeah, that completely was within bounds. We get there, and I'm like, cool, we're parked. Now we radiate out. You know, that's like ground zero, and we spread like a virus throughout the city and
right.
see what we want to see. Two blocks later, that idea came to an end. And my girlfriend said, F this, I just want to go back. And I'm like, I'm the Lily will hate me saying this. She's all for gender equality. And in fact, she did change my mind on so many things that for the rest of the show, Howard, I wish to be addressed as Johnny Girl Power.
All right.
JGP for short. And I'm like, you know what? You paid the cash. You call the shots. See, 80% of the time I paid the cash. So I'd love that to be the rule. But I'm like, you paid for all this. This is your event. Let's do it. We go back 4:30 and we sit like goons. There is nothing to do in this Brooklyn Academy.
Sit where? You're in the music school.
We're in the lobby of the Brooklyn Academy of Music. They have a movie theater. It's got Birdman. It's got Gone Girl. You know how when you see an ad for not Independence Day and like not Terminator 2, a lot of times it's like starting in New York and L.A. this date. 3 weeks later, the rest of you slobs get it.
Yeah.
They actually had those movies ahead of time.
Okay.
For the fancy people.
Why did you not buy tickets to one of those to kill 3 hours or 2 hours of
They started around 4 to 4:30 and ran 2 hours, and there was like this much of a chance that we would miss the opportunity to be the front of the line.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So you actually, there was a purpose. This was not like a meaningless wait. You actually were able to procure like an awesome spot to get seats, right?
Yeah, it's like those guys that line up 3 weeks ahead of the iPhone release.
See, you represented
it to me. You
could have
done it 2 weeks and 6 days ahead. You know, like that wasn't necessary. Had you given it 24 hours, you still would have been at the front of the vanguard.
Okay.
You didn't need all of it. So we just sit and sit and sit. And finally, two other girls come in, maybe like 5:30. Five, let's say. And we're just the four of us sitting there. And I'm like, they look like they're here for the same thing. Do you think they are? And she's like, why are you whispering? You're an idiot. But so we sit. And finally, these girls, there's an escalator that's right. going to take you up to the second floor to witness the show. And finally, around 6, these girls, even though we're not supposed to line up till 6:30, around 5:45 or 6, these girls stand up and they just stand right next to the escalator where the line, I guess, will be. And I'm like, F this. They are not beating us. We were technically here before them. No one else is going to get where they are in line. We are going right behind them. I'm going to staunch the bleeding. Even if I'm giving up my seat, which if you're keeping track of my day, I spent 4 hours just seated like a goon driving to New York. I've now spent 90 minutes, 2 hours sitting like a goon on a chair staring at a movie box office, which could give me something that would kill the pain for 2 hours, but I can't touch it. And then I get to stand for about an hour and a half till Lena comes. And that's what I do. I'm like, what does it matter at this point, John?
So nobody asked you to move. They just let it go.
No, they just let us stand. So me and the girlfriend, we're numbers 3 and 4 in line.
Pretty good.
And we're right under a spotlight. Like they had a light that was trained right on the wall where we are because there was some piece of paper that Barack Obama signed, you know, like, oh, music is for the masses, blah, 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 signed Barack Obama. Keep on trucking. You know, and then they hung that on the wall, and it was big news to them. I guess I get to poo-poo that because we're from D.C. That's the one thing we have culturally on New York. They're like, Barack Obama came to town. You know why I was 5-10 minutes later than I should have been? They set up a blockade as I tried to head out
right
earlier today. Like Barack, Congress, all of them, they can all blow me. All they do is create traffic jams that I have to then escape in a wily manner. I have to use my cunning to get the hell out of the city when I should to meet this smiling gentleman across from me.
Yeah, like, I've gone to that Starbucks over on Pennsylvania Avenue next to the White House. Like, the sirens make the experience unpleasant. It's very unpleasant. It's like, why the sirens?
Yeah,
you know, I'm drinking a coffee here.
Cops are shutting down roads 24/7 to let members of Congress out. The president, his dog gets a police detail. You know, it gets old to us. I know to you guys, he's there like once a year and it's a big deal. We don't care. We don't care. That's where I get to thumb my nose at you and go, yeah, I'm so much better.
Although I would respect the president who was like, ugh. D.C. Nah, I'm going to be up here in Manhattan. This is where I'm going to run business.
Of course. I'll show up once. Clinton did. Yeah. The instant he got out, he's like, take me to Harlem. I miss good barbecue and black ass. So we're numbers 3 and 4 in line, and eventually a line does indeed form behind us. And it gets deep quick.
Yeah.
I notice really maybe 4 other, 5 other guys, about 100 girls.
Yeah.
The guys don't look like they're interested in the girls, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
But they all look like me. I was very frustrated that I had to wear my glasses because I just wasn't going to do 12 hours of contacts, 15 hours of contacts. So I wear my thick, private joker, military-issued, thick black right. rim glasses, which is, I guess, the hipster uniform, that and the beard.
Yeah.
I wear a beard because I'm now really fat. And it gives me the illusion of a jawline. So that's why I'm bearded, and I wear the glasses because I'm blind as F. But these guys seem to like the look. So everyone was a gay clone of me. Every dude was a gay yours truly. That was surreal. Finally, 7 p.m. If you're keeping track, I left for New York around 11:30 in the morning. Let's say 11. I've been seated 90% of the time since then. Seated or standing, just stationary.
Right.
We're not going to count a car as moving through space. Yes, technically I covered hundreds of miles. But it felt like I was sitting the whole time. That's physics. That's relativity. Finally at 7 p.m. they usher us up. And we get to an auditorium. It looks like a junior high graduation. The stage is a foot tall.
Hmm.
The front row, it's just all seats you can pull out. Not folding chairs, but akin to that.
Okay.
Rows of 6, split down the middle. So 6 chairs, walking space, 6 chairs dead up front.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, the 4 to the side are reserved for friends and family. Then the 2 next to the aisle are open. Rich girls 1 and 2 take those seats. And on the next side, same thing. Those 2 seats right at the aisle are open, and the other 4 reserved for friends and family. So I'm like, I don't see a piece of paper on these 2 suites. You'll want to take them? And we plunk our tired asses down. And security comes by like 2 minutes later, and they're like, well, looks like you guys won the seat lottery, didn't you? And I wanted to say, I stood here for 3 hours. I don't know how much winning went into that, but sure. Don't know how much of a lottery went into that, but what the F? I guess we did.
You weren't even that excited at this point, were you?
I was very excited to sit again.
Okay. But not about the fact that this had paid off for the best seats in the house.
You know, I guess I was.
Okay.
I guess it counted. The fact it counted for something at the end did make me happy.
Because there's a part of me that's always excited just to be first. Be like, yeah!
Well,
what's
up? We were 3rd and 4th.
But still, no, like, that's close enough to the front. If you're that person who, like, got into the video store back in the day when we were kids and, like, you'd have to go and rent a VHS tape in order to watch a movie as opposed to on-demand streaming. I was always excited when I got to the video store
and
it was
had
like
that
the first
copy
person
of
in.
Flight of the Navigator left.
Nobody else was like looking for this stuff, especially when I was going through this Russian movie phase in high school. Oh. You know, I would just stand at the movie.
You weren't a normal kid. Like, where's Frankenhooker?
But you know, I'd go to Blockbuster like 9:55 on a Saturday. It's like, all right, first in line today. What's
oh,
up?
God. Good sweet Lord. So security comes by and says things really to the effect of to us and the rich girls. I'm happy it wasn't just us because we were dressed like the homeless.
Right.
Maybe they just thought we were on the tip of the next trend. And I'm like, no, I'm just a slob in a sweatshirt. But sure, this is the next trend. They come by and they're like, okay, you're going to be right next to Lena and her friends and family will be sitting next to you. And I'm like, okay, and? Do you... can you handle that? That was really the crux of what they were asking. They wanted to tiptoe around it, but they wanted really to hear out of me, are you going to be a freak about this? Are you going to see Jemima Kirk and grab her hair and just start smelling it?
I mean, you do have to be careful. We're getting to the point in society where more people are comfortable being around celebrities, but there still is large mass of people who
You're up front, do you think you're going to have a back and forth with Miss Lena Dunham? And I, you know, that was really what he was getting at. I'm like, dude, we're cool. Relax. No one's going to pull out an M16 and Sirhan this thing. We're all safe.
Right.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of little Fonzies here. Everyone's cool, buddy. So he walks off. And 2 seconds later, I'll be goddamned if, like, a couple of the members of the cast of Girls and Lena Dunham's mom don't sit down right next to us. I mean, her mom was, like, 2 chairs down, and her mom's in tiny furniture.
That's hilarious, yeah. Because I was like, oh, yeah, her mom was in tiny furniture.
Yeah, she's the mom. Shocker. And my girlfriend looks down. She's like, that's Lena's mom. I'm like, okay, cool. And then the guy who plays Laird, the resident stoner on Girls, he sits down right next to my chick. I'm like, hey, that's Laird. She's like, I know. And then next to the rich girls, sits Jemima Kirk, who's wearing like a very, I guess, ironic Bart Simpson t-shirt tucked into her pants.
Oh, didn't you like that?
Well, yeah, it was kind of a trip because I'm like, I've seen her tits, like, on the show, but I've still seen... It was weird to have seen someone's tits on a show, and then you almost want to be like, can I see him again? Like, that's your fingerprint. Can I... I'll mix and match. That's how I'll confirm it's you.
I think it's much better and more polite to just go up and be like, hey, saw your tits. They're really nice.
Banging jugs, ma'am. Suddenly I'm an Indian kid. So she sits down, and people I didn't know were famous, and then I learned 5 seconds they were. They sit down. I'll give their identities momentarily. I'm not trying to be cryptic, but it's like on either side of us is Lena Dunham's little world, man. And it's kind of funny like that.
It's her Brooklyn world.
Her little Brooklyn world. Yeah. And somehow, by virtue of sitting around like a goon for hours, that we're part of it. And that's cool to me. You don't even have to really be a fan of her to have fun with that. So the show begins, and it turns out a couple of the performers that I didn't recognize were just sitting in the front row with us as well. Like Mike Birbiglia, the comedian, who's doing very well for himself lately. They're like, hey, Lena's good friend Lily's good friend Mike is going to come up and do a 5-minute set for you guys. And I'm like, I know that name. And the dude just sits up, like, who's like 2 chairs down from me. And he gets up and bangs out a set. And he's 4 feet from me. It's kind of a trip, man. And then he just sits back down. And they're like, Lena's boyfriend or fiance or whatever the hell he is, Jack Antonoff from Fun. He's going to do some songs for you. I'm like, okay, who is this Jack character? Oh, he's the dude sitting 3 chairs down. And he gets up and he's in 4 feet in front of me and does an acoustic set.
Is he a short guy?
He is very petite, however.
Okay.
I just wanted to tuck him in to a tiny bed.
At the Fun concert, I mean, we were probably like row K, something like that. So, I mean, we were pretty close to stage, but it's just very difficult at times to tell people's height. I just know he looked small from the distance I was at originally. So.
You have a sharp eye.
Okay.
You could have made a hell of a sniper, sir. Yeah, Jack is not a big dude. But he gets up and does a set, and he's nice and does 3 songs, and then he sits back down, and then they're like, it's Lena time! And Lily comes out, and she does an hour reading from the book, and then...
An hour reading.
Maybe closer... It was like an hour total. I want to say she did like 30 minutes of reading, and then 30 minutes was like a Q&A with some broad from some publication. Like, I sound so ignorant saying
that.
But it
was an uninterrupted reading. She wasn't, like, reading and then, like, talking about how
she was. No.
Okay, just making sure.
This is not her just going, you know, apple to zebra out of a dictionary.
I was going to say, because I'm like, I bought this book. Like, I do want to hear you read it. That's part of why I'm here. But I want to hear you talk about the process.
Yes, she does that with 3 little bits from the book.
Great.
And it's
okay,
perfectly
that's awesome.
Entertaining. All right. And the whole time, I'm like, this is lovely. If you are into Lena, and even if you're not, to stand 4 feet from this person and they're doing this in front of you, very cool. And by the way, let me just toss this out because I'm Johnny Girl Power right now. Lena Dunham, I've cracked on her looks. I feel like as a dude, you kind of have to.
I don't think that's true.
Well, if you're doing this brand, I'm going to put brand and radio in quotes. Brand of radio. Because I'm not doing anything that's brand worthy and it's not really radio. You take a couple pot shots. You know what, though? She's really not that big. She's really not. And more importantly, she doesn't give an F. That's what I truly like about her.
Yeah.
I came to respect that. I remember a scene in Girls where her old boss she thinks is coming on to her, and she walks into his office and says something to the effect of, "You're gross and so am I. Let's do this." And there's just something hilarious about that.
Wow.
There's a self-awareness and just a contempt for what society calls beauty.
Right.
And you know what? It's pretty funny. Still funnier if Allison Williams just gets naked for 30 minutes. But I'll take that as a runner-up. So, yeah, Lena, she just doesn't care. And there's something cool about that. I'm not saying she's svelte, but she ain't that big. And the whole... This is going to sound kind of weird again. The whole night, she didn't put on a bra. And, like, she's leaning over. And this dress, like, her actual, like, the top of her jugs are about to come out. Like... She was so close, I had to avert my eyes. If I were five rows back, I would have looked, because I'm like, who doesn't want to see Lena Dunham's nipples live? I've seen them on the show 100 times, but what the hell? When am I going to see a celebrity's tits? You know what I mean? I'm not Warren Beatty in his glory days. This isn't going to happen that often.
Wow.
And she was so close, I had to turn my eyes, because it was like seeing a woman breastfeeding 3 feet in front of you. You're like, ugh. I should like this in theory, but things will get awkward. Because I'm that close to her. Like, the whole night, if Lena Dunham was like, I'm going to just stare directly in front of me and make eye contact with the two people dead in front of me, it's me and the girlfriend. We were the people dead in front of Lena Dunham.
Yeah,
the whole night.
You showed me the picture where you obscured the professional photographers.
My titanic cranium obscures half of Lena Dunham's body in a picture that, like, ran, I guess, in the next day in the New York Times. They're like, Lena Dunham, and I guess Zadie, I forget the chick's name, who was with her on stage. And, like, the two little rich girls who don't have abnormally large Rocky Dennis heads. You see all of Zadie, I'm not saying that for a fact, I just don't remember her name. She's fine. And then you look at Lena, and there's just this big black oval.
Yeah.
Over half of her body.
Like, you can basically see her head. You're like, yeah, that's definitely Lena Dunham.
Like, there's an event horizon in her belly button taking place. And that's my head. So, it was really a good time. But I'm not saying she, like, wowed me over. I guess my opinion hasn't changed a ton. But she's funny. She's, like, really personable. You know what I mean? Like, she could have been an ass about everything and been like, I'm better than you. I'm going to read and then I'm going to get the hell out of here. But she just seemed immensely likable. And then after her little reading was done and she did some Q&A with the audience and crap, she peaced out and then you walk downstairs. And guess what? You get your free copy of the book and then you meet Lena Dunham and she signs it for you. And that was cool too, because she recognized my girlfriend. Like, as we're standing in line, she's like, hey, you're the girl from up front. And of course my girlfriend's just like, yes. She's speechless. This chick is like her idol. She's just like, you talked at me. So and then she was going on. There was a passage she read about like a date or something to that effect. And she's like, yeah, I remember when I was reading that. Then I saw like he grabbed your hand and I went, yes. Because, you know, she was relating the fact that this passage about love got us to touch each other. And my girlfriend was just like, she could not get enough. So she gets this extended autograph from Lena Dunham.
Very nice.
Yeah, that says, like, you know, to the girl from the front row, XOXO,
wow.
Lena Dunham, that kind of crap. And then I get up and I get my book signed. And you know what my exchange with Lena Dunham was? After her face fell immediately because I just cut my hair. So I look even older than my girlfriend because my huge gray spot up front is showing. Because my girlfriend is already like 11 and a half years younger than me. She's so young that I had to say 11 and a half instead of 12.
Yeah.
And she looks younger than her age. She's 22 in like a day.
Right.
She looks like what? What would you say my girlfriend looks like realistically?
I would have guessed sophomore in college.
Okay, fair enough. So I get up there, and what would you guess my age is looking at me?
Not a day over 27.
Oh, well, thank you. Someone's getting Chipotle after the show. You honey dripper, you.
You do have a... I will disclose to the audience, you do have a patch of gray coming in, and I think that
I
some people
dye.
Can misinterpret.
Yeah, I usually shellac right over it, but yeah. I just had my head shaved, so I can't do much with it. So Lena sees me, and I'm like the landlord coming for money. And maybe she's just tired. Maybe she's just like, dude, it's a guy. I know he's not here out of his own volition.
Okay.
But she looks at me, and she's like, hi. And I go, hey. And I hand her my book, and they put a note card in the front, a post-it, rather, that just has your first name.
Yeah.
So she can write that down and get on with things. And I must have been the only person that just says nothing to her. Because what am I going to say? Come on my crappy show. My girlfriend would have elbowed my kidneys if I did. I asked her ahead of time.
Okay.
Trust me, I wanted to say it.
But there's a way to let her know that you're an artist. You could be facetious.
Just be yeah, like, from just one equal to, you know. To another, Lily. Yeah.
You really could. You could have gone the comedic route with, yeah, you know, as an artist myself, I really respect what you're doing. Just to see what she says, because she wouldn't necessarily detect the irony in your voice.
There's no way she would have. She probably deals with that
all
the live long day.
But you know that it's because she hears it from all sides. She usually has to look at the person to figure out if they're just joking with her or if they mean it. Because I'm sure plenty of people just come up, maybe not a lot of them, but I'd say a fair percentage just come up to kind of freak her out.
I think you're right. I don't know. Apparently, she just sits on her steps in Brooklyn a lot of times. And people walk by, she's like, hey, what's up? If I knew where she lived, I'd never leave her alone. I would just
really?
Be like, cameo, goddammit. Put a Papa's Basement sticker on your laptop right over the Apple, you mother effer. Oh, I would annoy her. Oh, to no end. You have no idea. But I get up and I say, hey, and she says, hi. And then she signs my book and hands it to me, and I go, thanks. And she goes, thanks. That's it. And I was so proud of that. I was the one person that didn't get in that woman's hair. And my book says, John, hey, bro, and with a heart, Lena Dunham. Or maybe just Lena. I don't know. My
True.
Coffee's still at my girlfriend's.
You got hey, bro?
I got hey, bro, which, thank you. She, my girlfriend thought that was just her being friendly. I think that was a bit of a jab. I think that was a bit of... like, hey, bro, you jockey douche kind of raping this girl, this younger girl.
You know, it's
jokes
one of those...
on you, Lena. My girlfriend doesn't bang me.
I believe she went to Oberlin, right? Is
she
that correct?
Did.
Okay. Have you been to, I visited the campus of Oberlin, believe it or not.
Okay.
It's, it is the type of institution that does not attract a lot of men of your ilk.
What are men of my ilk for the audience?
I would say
dashing, but what else?
The type of gentleman who rocked the public university for a year in state, figuring you'd get a science degree before you realized that was gonna be an awful way to live your life.
Two public universities.
Yeah.
Two public universities. I'm a real bit of riffraff.
But even when you went, even when you went to a private school, it was a big one. You know, we're not talking like no little liberal arts college like she did.
Yeah.
You went to like
I went there so I could work my locksmith job.
The big FU university. That's where you went. You went big FU. That's where you went. And I think for her, there's that embodies an experience she doesn't know. So you got stereotype, man.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Thank you, bro.
So now you know
Thank
how
you, dude.
Black people who get pulled over by the cops feel.
I really
Lena
do.
Lena Dunham just dropped one on you.
I really do.
Because you're not a bro. I mean, like, I went to a public university in Texas. Like, to me, no.
You did, you country music-loving hick.
Like, the bro defines a specific, like, subculture of fraternity. Because not even all frat dudes are bad, believe it or not. But I think that's more the mentality. And I don't know, man. Like, we spent a whole lot of time as undergrads not getting laid.
Yeah.
That's not really bro-y.
No, I've always said this. My sexual revolution in college... was I had my own computer with a T3 connection.
I was gonna say.
So I could download all the porn I want and masturbate furiously to it and just leave it on the desktop.
When you did finally start figuring out how to talk to girls, it was through MySpace. You know, this was not
yeah.
a...
No, AIM, then MySpace. MySpace is like three steps ahead.
But yeah, man, it was definitely not the sort of thing that you figured out at the bar or the frat party next to the keg playing beer pong. None of these are your life experience of how to meet girls.
Oh, are you kidding? I obtained consent to an annoying degree from any chick I was with. Like, are you sure you want to do this with me? Really? Okay.
Yeah, nah, she totally, I guess for her, going back to your initial comment where you looked around and realized there's four guys in this line.
Yeah.
And I might be the only straight one.
Exactly.
That was the moment she decided you were a bro, because there's no other reason for you to be there other than to get laid.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pounding out my my young and blonde girlfriend. So I am a bro now. But overall, it was a great time. I know it'd be funnier if I came on and mother effed that whole experience. I had a blast. Had a blast. One of these days, I'll even read the book.
Oh, wow.
Good for her. She's entertaining. She's likable. What the hell else do you want me to say? She's likable in as much as I can say from the 2 hours that we spent in some sort of proximity. She might have called it a night, taken one sip of her coffee the instant she signed that last book, and said, blah, this is too hot, and thrown it in her assistant's face and scalded the flesh right off it. I don't know what she's like behind closed doors, but God damn it if she wasn't likable for the amount of time that we were together, really, as, like I said, equals.
I mean, I'll put this about her. My understanding, she's not a real celebrity. I don't know if there's anything she really talked about. But, you know, for a lot of people, they go from, you know, even if they get discovered after college, they work that traditional, I'm going to go to Hollywood, I'm going to stand in lines, I'm just going to, like, wait for my big moment to break.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like she kind of was living with her mom, wrote this weird movie script, and convinced somebody to help fully fund it after she probably made like a dent. So basically, because she was able to jump into this at the deep end, she really skipped the part where people are developing, who do I think I'm going to be as a celebrity? I'm a completely delusional person just trying to make it right now. And by the time, if I do make it, I'm going to have this whole plan of like being a jerk to everyone I meet because I was a star from the moment I got to this town anyway. She never had any of that. It was just like, boom, you're famous.
Yeah, and look, the one thing you can crap on, it's she, I believe, made that movie, and her mom is a photographer. She's pretty well-connected in the New York art scene.
Right.
So when that's your mom, they're able to be like, hey, here's this movie my kid crapped out, and it'll get signed pretty, you know what I mean? They had to make a good product to begin with.
It would get her in the door. It wouldn't, like, get the movie. Movies are expensive, man. Like,
I'm saying she's good. I'm just, that's, if you want to, look, she isn't Clark Kent coming to Metropolis. You know what I mean? Like,
her mom was able to get...
aren't hayseeds with zero connections.
Her mom was probably able to help her to get someone to look at, like, a seven-minute demo. That's about, like, all that could really do for her.
Yeah, she's still talented. She had that break.
Anyway, man, I'm fine with that. I know a lot of people begrudge her for, like, her and her co-star Allison Williams for their prior fame or connections to, like, the art scene. Which, I don't know, that's kind of a weird thing to get on someone's case for being the child of someone who happens to also work in the same industry. Pretty sure this happens a lot.
Yeah, just a little. Then it doesn't mean they're not good at it, but yeah. I think, because so many of us are like, God, if I had that one break. That's really all it speaks to. The facetious, or why did I say facetious? I was so good with the words. I had them all right until the end, and all of a sudden... I sound like Sweetness trying to read Shakespeare. They have the erroneous belief that A, they just need to get discovered, and B, if they were discovered, they're so damn good that it would go somewhere.
Right.
I guess that's it. All right.
But no, all the other locksmiths get mad at you because your dad was the one who got you in this industry. You wouldn't
that's
be
true.
All like raking
you know what?
It in.
I am the Lena Dunham of locksmiths. There you go. Yeah, that's true. My dad died, and I took his equipment, and I've turned it into this lock empire I now preside over.
And all the other locksmiths just poo-poo your career. Yeah. He didn't really earn it.
God damn it. All right, sir. That is funny. And on that note, we are going to end the show. God damn it. That made me laugh, dude. Thank you, Howard. All right, folks, that was Papa's Basement. Again, I'm John Papa Giorgio. He is Howard Flood. You want to get a hold of me on Twitter, it's at Papa's Basement. Show's site is inpapasbasement.com. And if you want to do the subscription thing to everything that I put out there, go to iTunes or Stitcher, and look up Papa's Basement and Papa's Football Podcast. I know from hearing the title of that second show, you're like, what is it about? It is about ornithology.
And soccer.
Yes, exactly. European football. Not the good old gridiron. I also do thespookiescomic.com. I handle the writing duties for that, and it's a pretty funny comic if I say so myself, so check that out. Howard, plug all your crapola again.
Check out Vinny Van Gogh on Indiegogo.
Okay, Vinny Van Gogh, Indiegogo. Please give money to it, because I don't want to give more money to it, and I'll have to if it doesn't get more money. All right, folks, till the next one. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.